I love to sing her at the Mooner and the Juna and the Springer. I like to sing her.
I don't know that song, actually.
About a sky of blue, a T42, anything with a swinger to do. I love to swing.
That's the cold open. Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we've seen the cast of the Han Solo film, Last Jedi reshoots, celebration updates, and Benicio Del Toro watch right now. I don't know why. Benicio Del Toro watch. Like it's a brand new segment on the Star Wars Report. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. Welcome, come one, come all. We've got a great show for you. You found the home of the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting, and it starts right now. Yeah. At least we hope so. We're certainly having the most fun hour in Star Wars podcasting. Yeah. Isn't that true, Bruce?
I can't speak for other people, but I'm having a great old time.
Hey, it's, well, I guess I should do proper introduction. Hey, I'm Riley. I host this podcast. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. And joining me across the coffee table, not the virtual coffee table, the actual coffee table, is Mr. Bruce Gibson. What's up, Bruce?
I like the fact that you call it a coffee table as you're drinking coffee at this very moment.
Appropriately so. It's in fact, I have the Chewbacca mug that you've kindly donated to the cause. But more importantly, you've donated the caffeine to the cause of the Star Wars Report podcast this week. It's episode 267. Another jam-packed show for you guys. And a very special episode. We almost never do this, even though we live within, like, I would say within spitting distance, but it's not within, like...
Well, sometimes I feel your spit as you're on the show.
Well, yeah, we won't go there.
But no, we're about like an hour.
Yeah.
You're on the south end of Atlanta. I'm on the north end.
But
of Atlanta,
we're in person today.
We are.
Which is a rare treat, ladies
after we
and
went to a British pub.
We did. Yeah. Shout out to the, what is it, the Tavern Dunwoody?
It was
the
Dunwoody Tavern, yes. They
had these lobster sandwiches.
Lobster grilled cheese, which is so good. Grilled cheese sandwich with, well, I was going to say fresh lobster, but I don't know how fresh lobster is in Atlanta, but it was good. And I had tater tots, and you had the
sweet potato fries.
Sweet potato
this
fries.
Is what people tune in every week for, folks.
Yeah.
This is the podcast version of Instagram. It's just like, and I had the sweet potato fries.
I only wanted to mention that because I like tater tots almost as much as I like Star Wars. I'm
what?
On like a tater tot high lately. I don't know why, but every time I go to a restaurant and they have tots, I order them. And I've got a bag of frozen tots in the, if you want more later.
Can we just like munch on those things like popcorn during the show later?
That would be so good.
Take a brief break.
So good.
Yeah, so just a fair warning. This, you know, normally when you think Star Wars Report, you think of a tight, highly produced, uninterrupted, tip-top ship-shape program.
And then we question why you're thinking that.
exactly. I mean, we do have a good number of topics, but here's the thing about podcasting in person is that it always lends way, way, way more to just side tangents. And we've already, ladies and gentlemen, you're joining us 2 hours into this conversation because we've literally been hanging out all evening. So it's going to be very interesting to see. So we're going to forego some of the traditional things, although we will do a Boba's Bounty, which will probably just be a sequel, and I'll be asking Bruce more questions about Lucasfilm. and then we've, of course, got a bunch of news stories coming up.
And then Mark, he's up on
who?
The hills. Mark. Mark Herlihan. Do you know who Mark is?
No. Mark is gone.
He's up on the hills singing, the hills are mine.
He ran for the hills.
He ran for them.
Mark, no, it's a scouting trip for him this weekend, as he does each year about this time.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, probably still warmer than his studio where he is right now.
Probably.
Oh, my goodness. Let's start it off at the top of the show. I said this in the last podcast. I lied because it's happening again now. This is truly the last time. Remember that 1997 TV trailer for Star Wars? One last time. Well, this is the one last time I'm going to mention the Patreon special Star Wars Report listener and supporter dinner Friday evening at the Cafe 22 Tango at Star Wars Celebration, 5:30 p.m. all the way up to about 7, maybe 8 o'clock in time to get everybody over to the Sequence of the Stars, whatever it's freaking called. What is it called? The Disney event? The Saga in the Stars? The Stars of the Saga? The
Galactic.
Weekend?
It's
the Galactic Night of the Trek in the thing, right?
Yeah, that thing.
Email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. If you want to get in on this.
And do it soon.
So I was just forwarding email after email after email after email to Bruce this week of like, hey, add these people to the reservation. Hey, also add these people to the reservation. Hey, also, we're up to 40 people. Yes. It's insane. It's going to be a grand time.
We're going to have to cap it soon because the room is only going to hold so many people.
Looking at the numbers now, this is the last call. If you want it, we will be making the final reservation this week. So when you're listening to this podcast, it's your last chance. Email starwarsreport@gmail.com if you're going to be at Celebration and want to hang out with us, have dinner Friday night. We're going to also have some really fun things to do to make it an interactive. It's a true dinner party. A dinner party.
Yes.
A long-expected party. That's another franchise.
A party that you'll have to take care of yourselves when you get there.
Well, exactly.
Look, it's a gathering. I mean, we're not supplying you dinner and drinks, but we're all gathering as a group together, unless something changes. But, you know, everybody's responsible to just show up there and order what you want and...
Have
a good time.
Absolutely. And we're hoping to get our own section of the restaurant. We'll see. I literally made a phone call a few hours ago. Yeah. Like, hey, yeah, we got like a lot of people that want to come. And like, oh yeah, you need to go to our event booker. So we're handling it now. Again, this is your last chance. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Hey, let's talk about that Han Solo movie. Han Solo, you're a dead man. There's nowhere left. No one left in the galaxy for you to swindle.
Wait, Ron, how can there be a Han Solo movie if Han Solo died?
That's what I've been asking this whole time. I know.
No, of course, this is a young Han Solo. Of course, we all know that.
Yeah, we had Steve Glosson on the Thursday show this week. We were talking a lot about this story. And as he's coined the term, we're taking the mantle. We're waving the flag because this is the Han Duo film.
Are you excited about this movie?
That's exactly what I asked to see.
I know, but I'm throwing it back to you now.
I'm worried. I am excited, but also worried. The cast is amazing. I mean, let's just go through it. I'll explain why I'm worried and why it's not what you think right after I tell you about... No, I'm kidding. I feel like that would have been a great sponsor. Jeez. No, okay. So Han Solo, smuggler, scoundrel, hero, a new Star Wars story begins. Strap yourself in. Principal photography on the untitled Han Solo Star Wars story is underway. So cameras have officially started. They're at Pinewood in London. The official excerpt reads, "The movie will explore the duo's adventures before the events of Star Wars A New Hope, including their early encounters with that other card-playing rogue from a galaxy far, far away, Lando Calrissian."
Well, what do we have here?
Lando's a friend of mine. You truly belong here with us among the clouds. Now you do an Lando quote. Go.
Look what we have here. Oh, I already did that one.
No, you got to do a different one. That's the whole game.
Oh, I know. Yeah!
That's an easy one. All right. Someone must have told them about my maneuver at the Battle of Tanab. Now you go.
I
have out Lando quoted. But this used to be a road trip game we would play. Of just think of a Star Wars character and go back and forth, and you had 3 seconds to start a quote, and you had to think of another quote until someone's brain finally died, and we could come up with so many.
And this is why I don't take road trips with you. But no, this is cool because we are seeing the whole cast together in a photo with a fully dressed Chewbacca. Meaning the actor is in costume. Chewbacca doesn't wear clothes. Riley, don't spit up your coffee, please. I don't want it all over the carpet.
I definitely just did.
But Woody Harrelson is there. I mean, the whole cast is there. And Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Khaleesi. Khaleesi. Are you a Game of Thrones watcher?
I do, but it's been a full season. I haven't seen it in a while.
You haven't seen season 6?
No, I have, but I'm just saying it's been a while. I'm like has. So into
how
something
about that
else.
Light of the Seven? Like in the fine.
We're not going there.
Yes, and then of course, yeah.
And Phil the directors.
Lord, Christopher Miller, of course, of the Lego movie, and of course, Donald Glover. I'm very excited about Donald Glover. I've made it very clear. And then there's a few more quotes actually in the official press release, but I'm of two minds. Two sides of the coin. One side of the coin is Alden Ehrenreich. I like him. I think he's really good. I think any actor who takes on the task of replacing Harrison Ford as his most iconic role, it's a nigh impossible task. Even with roles that have been swapped out over and over again, Steve Glosson on Thursday was talking about the James Bond franchise. Even then, the quintessential James Bond has been set. As much as people might like, you know, any of the most recent ones, Bond is Bond. And so when you say James Bond, you don't think Roger Moore. Which I'm dancing around the name of the original James Bond because I just had a giant brain fart. What is what? Hang on. It was before my time. Whatever. There are people screaming at their thing. So that's one side of the coin. It's the impossible task of trying to replace Harrison Ford in one of his most iconic.
Do you know that Harrison Ford was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Do you know who played his father in that movie?
Oh, darn it!
It was Sean Connery.
Thank you. Why did I blank on Sean Connery?
Also played the original James Bond.
What is wrong with
me? But you know, this is what's interesting because I almost have to refocus the way I think of Star Wars, because Star Wars to me was, of course, the original trilogy. Then later came the prequel trilogy. And in my mind, Star Wars was just those 6 films, not looking at EU and all the other ancillary things, but Star Wars was the 6 films. But now that we're branching off into new films that are standalone or spinoffs or whatever you want to call them, we have to come to accept the fact that we're going to see actors in roles that we're familiar with. And one day we could very well be sitting here when you're 55 years old and I'm sitting here at 80 or whatever old I am talking about who was your favorite Han Solo, just like when we talk about who's your favorite James Bond. Because
I'm not ready.
Is Han Solo, after this movie, would this be the last of Han Solo ever? I don't think so. We're going to have more Han Solo, whether it's 10, 20
years. That's ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call a tech hiccup. Bruce, you're saying whether it's 10, 20 years, we're going to see different Han Solos. And yes, it's not something I'm prepared for. I'm not ready.
No, but you need to get prepared. And maybe this movie will prepare you after you see it. It could be so good, and you can come out of there saying, you know, I didn't really miss Harrison Ford. It worked.
No way.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's impossible.
I'm just telling you.
I cannot fathom a universe where I'm like, yeah, this Alden Ehrenreich guy, you know what? I think he's better than Harrison.
Yeah, but you also didn't figure you would walk out of Rogue One loving it as much as you did.
No, that, well, yes, but that's...
And
you, that's you like never, saying the wait a second. That's like saying, but yeah, but you also didn't expect you. I mean, you said you really liked Nutella, but you didn't expect to like the peanut strawberry spread as well. It's yes, it's different, but it doesn't mean I don't know. One doesn't mean the other. I guess
Trader Joe's has cookie butter. It's really good. You should try it. But I'm just saying. I mean, you like Rebels. Okay, forget that one.
All right, stop it. We had this discussion on last week's show. Yes. You know how many emails that we've gotten on the subject?
5.
Zero.
Zero.
A big fat zero. Now, we did get a Facebook message. I don't have it up here from someone encouraging me to watch Rebels. But like, if you guys were trying to go stick up for Star Wars Rebels for Riley to catch up, you didn't. So like the overwhelming.
Yeah, but didn't you start watching it the other day?
Yeah, because I'm like countercultural. Now that nobody came in, I'm like, well, it's got to be good. I'm gonna go in.
And you're liking?
No, I'm catching up. I watched the 2 Geonosis episodes. I'd say like they were good. Solid 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
I mean, Womp Rats. Mm-hmm. There's a reference for William Devereaux and the good folks at Ion Cannon. What were we saying? Oh, the other side of the coin. Having said that, the other side of the coin on the Han Solo film is the Lego Movie, a.k.a. Chris Lord and Phil Miller, because those two managed to take something that we are already predisposed to like, which is Lego, and turn it into a movie that is going to like hit on all the nostalgia serotonin hits, right? And but also made something that was genre-defying and one of the greatest animated films in recent history. So if we're wanting them to take a property that hits all the nostalgia serotonin, which is like young Han Solo, and do something as incredible as the Lego Movie was. The Lego Movie was so good it was subversive. Like when is it bad? Am I allowed to give Lego Movie spoilers? I don't know if like I can.
I wouldn't at this point. Well, the Lego Movie, yeah, you probably could, but yeah. Not the Batman one.
That's... Yeah, no. I'm talking about the original one. And yeah, so the way that suddenly you think that this kind of fun, funky film about these minifigures suddenly turns into like insightful social commentary on the meaning of creativity and the role it plays on children growing into adults. And you're just like, wait, when did this just become a Pixar movie? When it did. And have you seen it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have.
You're looking surprised. Like, ooh, this sounds like a good movie. This is a good movie. It sounds like, so that's the other side of the coin that makes me excited. I think that they have the ability to make a movie that, isn't just like a giant list of something happening on screen that was referenced in the previous films. That's the greatest danger with this movie. Let's be honest. The greatest danger is this being like one giant slideshow of every little offhand comment that Han Solo has ever made. And it's going to, we'll see the Battle of Tanab. We'll see the gambling match between Han Solo and Lando. We'll see,
I don't want to get to that point either. I don't think they will do that. I mean, Lucasfilm, all the people behind this, I would hope are smart enough.
That was my biggest. I love Rogue One as much and slightly better than The Force Awakens. My biggest problem with both of those films are when some of those nostalgia beats just go a little far.
Yeah,
just a little, like especially like the slow zoom on the blue milk or the.
That one bothered me.
What was the other one? The Ponda Baba was the one in Rogue One where he's like, "You just watch yourself." I was like, okay, all right, I got it.
That one didn't bother me as much as the blue milk, like, zoom in. Like, I thought the blue milk was going to be the star of the movie, the way it started off. But now, did you see the Lego Batman movie?
I have not.
Okay, because that one I felt like made a lot of references to Batman things. Like, it was, like, a little too much.
Was it?
And I don't want that.
Was it Chris Lord and Phil Miller who did this one, too?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. But I don't want... I don't want that in Han Solo either. I don't want it to be like, throughout the movie, there's inside jokes about Han shooting first. Like if Han shoots somebody, I'll go, Han, you just shot first. Like,
It's the turn to camera moment.
Right.
It's
we don't want that.
Yeah. It's going to be like, we, it'd be like Han Solo meeting Chewbacca for the first time and say, hey, I think I've got a ship that would suit you well if you want to be first mate.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
He's like,
Yeah, you don't want too much of that. Yeah. And speaking of this, this would be the first Star Wars movie we've had with Chewbacca in it that's not played by Peter Mayhew anywhere in it.
Yes. This is, you put a piece in here from the Hollywood Reporter, and this is that basketball player from The Force Awakens who did it.
Yes.
All right, let's do a pronunciation quiz real quick. I'll do the first name, you do the last name. How about that? We'll both butcher it.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go Jonas
Sutomal.
Jonas Sutomal.
Sutomo.
Sutomo. Sutomo? Sutomo.
Sutomo?
Was officially announced in the role of Chewbacca for the upcoming Star Wars standalone film following the exploits of the young Han Solo.
So he was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, it was great too.
Yeah.
But you could tell the difference still.
I could. Every time I watch the movie, all I do when I see Chewbacca,
yeah, yeah.
I compare, is that Peter or...
And then, see, and I don't know all the scenes because it's so good. Normally, as many times as we've seen this movie, we should be able to tell every time it's not Peter Mayhew. But the fact that we can't necessarily, even as many times as we've seen TFA, is a big testament to how good he is. The two main ones I've always noticed is that it's definitely him running around Starkiller Base at the end with the detonators.
Yes.
That's definitely him. But in the cockpit at the very end, the last few shots of the film, that's Peter Mayhew.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the only...
Oh, it's just the cockpit scene?
Yeah. Because I'm convinced that's him there. Everywhere else, I have to go back and watch, but I would not be surprised if he's only in maybe two or three scenes at the most.
Yeah, yeah. And it just makes sense. I mean, Peter is, it's just not out of place health-wise where he's able to do it, but it looks like, and as they say here, so Sotomayor said, Chewbacca is one of the most iconic characters in the history of film, and Peter's development and portrayal of this beloved Wookiee has spread so much joy around the globe. He wrote in a statement after the casting was announced, Peter's guidance and kindness have been invaluable gifts which warmed my spirit and prepared me for this journey. I aspire to make Peter proud and bring Star Wars fans the Chewie they know and love. Although, if you're going to take over Chewbacca, can you imagine the fan scrutiny if it had been there had been no Peter Mayhew in The Force Awakens? Because he has to be next to freaking Harrison Ford. And you have to... Can you imagine the pressure? Especially if you understand, like, the weight of that duo. And there's no Peter Mayhew to guide you. All I can say is I bet he's pretty happy that his first solo run at this gig is opposite another guy who's also trying to redefine a brand new character.
Yeah, because Jonas... Is that how this...
I'm just going to say Jonas.
Jonas.
Because it sounds fancy.
Finnish. Jonas. This will be... He's the old timer in the group. Because everybody else is new.
That's true. He's the old veteran. He's actually
the veteran. And not only that, but he played basketball at Penn State, which is my alma mater.
Well, howdy do to you.
Yes. Hello, Adam. That's a shout out to you, too. And just also mention, if anybody is a Penn Stater out there, you know, email us and say hi.
There will be more of them than Rebels fans. All right.
Ooh, wrong. No.
I kid. Now we are going to get emails. All right. So definitely a big role to fill, but I have no qualms about that at all.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have Chewbacca in it, you can't have Peter doing it anyway. So, I mean, again, this is going back to what we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. different actors playing parts. I mean, we have to get used to this.
Yeah, no, it's true. And Steve Von Thursday had a good point when it comes to you can't do this film without Chewbacca as a centerpiece,
right.
Especially before the events of A New Hope. We don't even have Luke and Leia in that dynamic yet. And, you know, I just imagine the Cloud City sequences without Chewie. Chewie's like the heart of that entire sequence of the film. And like his bantering with 3PO and everything. So, yeah. It's going to be awesome. All right. Let's jump to, we have another story. Oh, I just heard. All right. Try. Hang on.
Okay, there's a lot of emotion going on over here.
I'm just, do you have any, do you feel like I need some sniffing sauce?
Oh, well, yes, I have it laying around everywhere.
Star Wars news. Episode 8, The Last Jedi, is set to hit the big screen in December. Director Ryan Johnson wrapped production on the film last summer, and since then he's treated us to a behind-the-scenes look at the editing process. And while John Williams has already been working on the score,
it now
looks as though the film will...
Bruce, we're listening since Bruce can't hear. We're listening to this.
...shoots scheduled next month.
What? Did I... Hang on. What was scheduled next month? Hang on, let me just rewind the tape there.
Scheduled next month.
It's been what's scheduled?
Back into production with reshoots scheduled next month.
No! It's the movie's ruined! It's the end of days! Bruce! Reshoots!
Reshoots! Oh my gosh, you know, Rogue One did reshoots and look how bad that turned out. Oh my gosh! It's anyway. Okay. It's okay, Riley. You're going to be fine. Reshoots can don't mean it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. Why do you think they're doing reshoots?
Reshoots! I'm just going to sit here and just like quiver saying, okay, I'll stop.
So speculation is about Carrie Fisher. That's the big thing. And we do not have confirmation that reshoots have anything to do with the passing of Carrie Fisher, but speculation is that they may be redoing scenes because of the recent death of Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
And instead of replacing her with a new actor, they're going to work in something into the storyline about why she's not there, whether it's in this movie or the next one, or maybe she continues on in some clever way. But they said they're not going to do any digital recreations of her.
Well, and they also specify in Scotland and Ireland, and we know that's the... I keep wanting to call it Jeddah, but it's not. Not Takadana. Faux Tatooine, Jakku.
You're talking about the Jedi Steps?
The Jedi Steps planet! I always forget it. Hang on. Siri, what is the Jedi Steps planet? Let's see. I'll see if this works out. I don't know if it's a new feature with OS 10 here. We're thinking. It's coming up. Or it's Jedi Steps Planet. Oh, I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, give me a moment.
It's like, okay, give me a moment.
Okay, I found this on the web for what is the Jedi Steps Planet. See if then.
It definitely didn't work. The Force Awakens planet's a guide. You'll find it faster than Siri will at this point. Anyway, it's going to be the Jedi Steps planets where these reshoots seem to be taking place. Which that doesn't preclude doing something at Pinewood. It's just obviously, we never know what's going on inside those hallowed halls at Pinewood, but we can at least get the sneak peek. Did you see any of the leaked pictures of any of the Scotland or Ireland shoots?
What, like the
episode 8 leaked pictures? They kind of flew under the radar because they weren't making big news because it was like in the midst of Rogue One ramp up. I remember when we had, I forgot the gentleman's name that we had on talking about the Croatia shoots. Of episode 8.
I remember
eight.
That one.
Remember
yeah.
when they were remembering once upon a time they were filming episode 8 stuff?
Yeah.
It seems like forever ago.
I remember that. I remember seeing photos from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had the Croatia. There were a bunch of pictures of. See, I don't want to spoil you. We'll save some. We might save some spoilery discussion towards the end of some of the leaked
photos. We actually do have a spoiler at the end.
Oh, we do? Okay, well, I'll fit it in there. You just remind me to talk about Ireland and Scotland because I have a little bit of a theory. Which makes me very excited. So reshoots, don't panic. All right, everybody. And you know what is funny? As much as I'm playing off of that weird, it's almost like its own thing now. It's like some of the people panic about the reshoots, and then the vast majority of the Star Wars fan sphere online, like all the blogosphere and Twitter, it reacts to the people reacting to the reshoots. And then there's me, and I'm just going to react to the people who are reacting to the people who are reacting to the reshoots, which is like, I know, if you can keep up with it, everybody stop panicking and making fun of people who are panicking about the reshoots, okay? All right?
Well, again, I just lost track of myself. We just been through this with Rogue One.
Yeah,
I mean, not everybody.
Although to
people
be fair,
panicking about the reshoots this, and turned out great.
This may actually relate quite well to our next story. I'm gonna hold off. We have something on Mark Hamill, but that ties in way too good to the digital release and Blu-ray release for Rogue One. Which is coming out. In fact, we have the exact dates. Digital HD, March 24th. Blu-ray, April 4th. And more importantly, no bonus or deleted scenes. Did you see that?
Why is that, do you think? I mean, it's not because they're going to release the Blu-ray 3D later with a commentary track, because the Blu-ray 3D is coming out this time, too.
Oh, does it have a commentary track? That's the other thing.
It doesn't. It doesn't, though.
Wait, what?
It does
not. None of this has commentary?
I saw nothing in here about a commentary.
I ain't buying that. Why would I buy a Blu-ray that doesn't have a commentary or deleted scenes?
because it has exclusives about the characters.
All right, tell me about the exclusives.
I mean, well, each character has a segment that, you know, is a not behind the scenes, but just an in-depth look at the character. And then later it goes on about
people
the
can
Empire.
Just see my skeptical face right now. I'm unimpressed so far, but give me more. I'm still open.
Well, they go through and they tell you where all the Easter eggs are.
Oh, the Easter eggs. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So well, it's good because I haven't. It's funny because I haven't read any blogs about that. So.
Well. Yeah. Oh, but this is wait, visual. This is visual, and it's right before Easter.
Touche, sir. Well, is there anything else?
And they talk
here?
About how, you know, the filmmakers work to get this to look and fit in well with A New Hope. I don't know. I mean, these bonus features aren't really that beefy, in my opinion. But
do you buy for the movie. Do you buy it for the bonus features at all, or is it just the movie?
I primarily for the movie because I want the movie. I mean, the bonus features are really a bonus to me. I mean, I do enjoy the bonus features, but it's primarily the movie that I want. But this is what I will be upset about if in the fall they come out with some new edition with
the commentary
and deleted scenes.
Well, I mean,
but I don't think there's many deleted scenes because I think
they're not going to show it. Yeah, well, yeah, there are a lot of deleted scenes. We've just seen them all.
Yeah, but they're a different take of the movie, though.
Well, they're a different take of the movie, and we've seen them all. It's called the trailers, and those are the deleted scenes. Yeah. And of course, I'm sure making Nathan Butler really excited. There's a Target exclusive, Best Buy exclusive, and Walmart exclusive if you want all of the different editions.
That's a good amount of YouTube content for.
You people will probably be shocked for me to say this, but don't buy all of them. It's just. All right. Anyway.
Hey, that's what some people, that's their thing. You need to appreciate
that. I mean, you do you. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Where were we? Well, actually, the Best Buy one is the Steelbook. That looks kind of cool. I almost bought the Best Buy one with the Steelbook of The Force Awakens, but I decided not to.
Yeah, we went to... Well, wait. We met up...
No, the Target. Sorry, this Target.
We went to Target, met up with a bunch of people, and you were staying there.
And then I heard about the Steelbook.
You heard about the Steelbook.
I was like, I'm getting that.
And then all of a sudden, you take your Target exclusive and put it on the shelf, and you said, I'm going to Best Buy.
That's true. That is true. Very true, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's literally just character features, a rogue idea with John Knoll, the Princess and the Governor, the CGI stuff, an epilogue, or it's basically a look at the premiere and the future of Star Wars, and then the Easter egg segment. That's a very light. Will you be buying it?
I mean, absolutely, but this is the thing I'm upset about, as it was with The Force Awakens.
All right.
That is, I want the combo pack, I want the Blu-ray, I want the DVD, I want the digital copy. You get that all for one price. I'll probably go to Target because there's a few more bonus features, but I don't. That's coming out April 4th. March 24th is when they're coming out with the digital only. So March 24th is digital HD only, and then 2 weeks later,
I swear, Bruce, if you're about to say that you're going to buy the digital one just to have it 2 weeks before.
Because what I want to do is I'll wait till April 4th.
Okay.
Because I don't want to pay for it twice.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I will say.
That makes you a smart person, by the way.
I hate the fact that I have to wait 2 weeks. That's what I don't like, because everybody's going to be online.
The staggered release.
Hey, how many times have you watched it? Did you get it? I'll be like, no.
Yes. Hey, how many times are you up to at the home release? Hey, hashtag Rogue Watch Party with the.
What?
By the way, but ladies and gentlemen, if you're buying the digital edition, send those emails in. I'll forward them to Bruce just to get.
No, so when The Force Awakens came out, I did buy the digital edition.
Okay.
And then 2 weeks I bought the physical. And the reason and how I worked this out is because my daughter wanted her own digital copy.
Oh, okay.
So I bought the digital version.
I was about to say sucker, but that's smart.
I bought the digital copy for me. And then when I got the physical copy, I used that code to do a digital download for her. And I might do that.
Okay.
So who knows?
So there you go. There you go.
There's ways to work around it. But some people, like Aaron Goyne, says that, you know, why do you want to get the physical? You can just watch the digital all the time. But I have certain rooms and TVs that aren't hooked up to Apple, and that's where I get the digitals is through iTunes.
Oh, so you do iTunes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron Goyne is like, you know, you don't need, why does anybody need physical copies? because, you know, we talked to Aaron. And
I was going to say, I feel like you need to sell your Aaron impression a little bit more. What was he like now? What was he? What was he like?
It was all
he doesn't
text.
Listen to Ori.
I can't imitate. I'll do his tech.
He was in our Facebook
because
group.
Because I have a bathroom where I watch TV from the shower.
I was not expecting you to bring that up on the show.
And the TV only has a DVD player. I don't have a Apple TV or anything hooked up to it. So I want to watch Rogue One when I take a shower and brush my teeth. You would too if you had a TV in your bathroom.
That's true. Bruce is like, you're just jealous of my bathroom TV. It is. I wish Aaron Goins was in this room right now. I will be buying it, but hesitantly, I'm buying it in protest. I mean, I have to have a copy of the film for the home, and it has to be Blu-ray. I like the uncompressed video, and more importantly, the sound, like the uncompressed surround sound, that makes a big difference to me.
Okay, so there's another good point. Now I want you to look straight ahead. The listeners can't do this. I have a big projection screen here, and
yes,
Blu-ray would look better on here than a digital stream.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, absolutely.
122 inch screen.
And there's no buffering issues, and yeah, no, definitely. So, yep, coming out April 4th. Get it on Blu-ray. I think it's a poorly designed Blu-ray set, but it's definitely still worth having the film. But it's the kind of thing that, come on, guys, beef it up. Beef it up. It's Disney. Disney's like, that's the thing, is like amazing bonus content, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like...
I remember like the documentary for Pirates of the Caribbean and The Curse of the Black Pearl. That thing's amazing. That was on the DVD when they released it. Ah, oh, love that thing.
You know what? Now that I think about it, now that you're mentioning it, I feel like I read somewhere a couple months ago about DVD and Blu-ray sales aren't what they used to be because people are buying more digital.
True.
And so they're doing less special features and commentaries. And I'm not talking Star Wars, just in general.
Interesting.
To keep costs low because sales aren't as well as they used to be.
That makes more sense when you put it that way, he said hesitantly.
Well, and also I think they kind of hoard some of these special features to release maybe later when they do, maybe they get in the digital space and there's a Star Wars app and you pay a fee or something. You know, you never know what the future holds. They want to hold that stuff for that too.
Okay, cool. Oh, well, speaking of Rogue One, the Making Rogue One, a Star Wars Story, a behind-the-scenes oral history, which that's a weird title for a behind-the-scenes book. It was delayed, right? It delayed a while back, but it's going to be released this October, right in the ramp-up to Episode 8. See, this is the problem with the release once a year, or in 6 months in the case of the next movie. It's kind of hard to keep up, but this is beefy. If you want to know the behind the scenes of Rogue One, 300 color illustrations, hardcover, $30. That's not bad, actually. $30 for it. Exploring new heroes, new tales, new corner of the galaxy, following the journey to the screen. Probably making no mention of any of the drama or reshoots. Did we get? We're never going to get that making Force Awakens. Did we ever get that? No.
I don't think we've gotten that.
No, yet. Because remember, What's-His-Face was working on it.
Yeah, and it got canceled.
He did all the other making of books. Why am I blanking on his name? Oh, well, it's not coming to me. But
he's on the Jedi Steps planet right now.
Yep, the Jedi Steps. That's a good point. I swear. Hang on. I'm just going to try this. Where was Luke Skywalker in The Force Awakens? A question many of us asked, by the way. yeah, and it's written by Josh Cushions.
I don't see any theaters playing Star Wars The Force Awakens nearby.
I don't see any theaters playing The Force Awakens. Thanks, Siri. Siri's about as helpful as the Blu-ray release. All right. Josh Cushions writing, which is interesting. I remember Josh, by the way, early on in Star Wars, and when we were doing the Star Wars report, in our first year or two, I remember we were looking into some stories and we were like being all pro. I was like, Bethany, we should like, we're journalists. We've done this podcast for at least a year. Let's email Lucasfilm and get confirmation or denial from rumors. And it was Josh at the time. I was probably some kind of like casting. It was some rumor about the live action TV show, I think, that we were asking. And he was super nice and professional about it. He's like, well, as you know, don't comment on this, but this is the case. This isn't the case. He was great. But it's interesting. It's cool that he's doing a book with him. Mark Hamill. Wait, so I'm just reading this headline here from the New York Daily News. Star Wars director J.J. Abrams says Mark Hamill will win an Oscar for Luke Skywalker and his role in The Last Jedi. What?
Yes. What? I love this article.
What?
I love this article because I don't think I ever said this. Maybe I did on the Star Wars Report, but I have told people that I will not be surprised that we are blown away by Mark Hamill's performance. I don't think anybody expects that.
Okay.
But I think that when Mark Hamill hits the screen, I think people are going to be like, crap, why hasn't this guy been acting on screen for years? Yes, we know he's been doing animated, you know, voice work and stuff, but I just have a feeling we're going to be shocked. And I mean, of course, JJ's trying to sell this film, but for JJ to say that, you know, he thinks he would be disappointed if he doesn't win an Oscar just tells you how powerful a performer he is in this movie.
Quote, I think we are... I can't do a JJ impression. I was going to try to do a JJ impression, but I think we're all going to be very upset if he does not win an Oscar, and no one more upset than Mark, he told us at the Oscar Wilde Awards in L.A. Hamill, who first played Luke Skywalker, and said, never mind. That's what we call copy filler. By the way, anytime I've done Star Wars podcasting for so long, anytime you go to like a mainstream newspaper talking about some news piece of headline, that's literally just the headline is the main piece of news, but you're trying to reach 500 words. So what you have is like this. Ready? Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in 1977 Star Wars, has reprised the role of the heroic Jedi Knight in three other films, including 2015's The Force Awakens, in which he appeared for 1 minute and says nothing. That's, ladies and gentlemen, what we call reaching your word count. Yep. He slowly turned, raised his hood. Although, to be fair, that facial expression said 1,000 words all at once. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right. Let's take a brief time out. I'm going to grab a sip of... sip of ye old coffee. And I'm gonna try not to knock out the recording as I did earlier.
Yeah, and don't spit out the coffee again.
No, that was a problem. That was a real problem. Hey guys, guess what? If you enjoy this program, even if you enjoy it, I mean, maybe you even enjoy it more than Star Wars Rebels. you can.
I know one person who does.
All right, stop it. You can support this program over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. In fact, you can be just like Zach Miller, our most recent patron, who we are featuring this week, saying a big, giant thank you, Zach, for jumping on board. And Zach actually recently jumped on board the dinner as well. He'll be present here and present at our dinner at Celebration Orlando. So we're looking forward to seeing you. Zach, thanks so much for supporting. We release bonus content all the time for folks who support us, and we have different levels, including T-shirt level and a few other things that we'll send you. And you can just pledge just a few galactic credits, few Republic credits to help support this very program. So if you're interested in doing that, there's one way you can do it. Let's go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. I was putting on my best radio voice there.
Well, like, keep trying.
patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You gotta enunciate. It's like Star Wars Report.
Star Wars Report.
Have we seen the Star Wars?
I do not do well at enunciating. See, I can't even say it. Enunciating. And I have done acting, but I there was an exercise I was given by an acting professor, and it's from Shakespeare's Hamlet.
How now, Brown?
No,
okay. Oh,
no, that one. It was, speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as most players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines.
But the phrase we hear every time we do a sound check before the show starts, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness! Wow, we've been rolling along. Goodness, we're almost at a show, but we do have
celebration.
And we have Boba's Bounty, so we got to get to those two. Oh, we have some amazing emails, too. We got to get to all of it. In fact, let's do that. Celebration. What do we have on Celebration?
Well, we have, we know what's going on in the opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
Yes. Thursday morning.
Excited. I'm really excited.
And that's the first morning, what, April 13th. We have Kathleen Kennedy.
I feel weird. Hang on.
I've had to drop my microphone to type celebrate.
Yeah, here we go. Now we can do it. All right, Bruce, you were saying? We can make it official now.
Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy will be at the opening ceremony as a tribute to an epic tribute to
an
the
epic
saga.
Tribute.
Yes, 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it'll be the panel's hosted.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The panel's hosted by Warwick Davis.
Okay. Excellent. So on the main stage, we know. And here's the thing. When they announced this on the Star Wars show...
The Star Wars show!
This week on the Star Wars! I swear, one of these days I'm going to start the Star Wars
when
report
I went
like
to
that.
The fountain, I kept waiting for the Yoda to say something to me, and it didn't.
By the way, if I ever have the privilege of visiting Lucasfilm like you did just not last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm doing that. I'm going to say, this week on the Star Wars report, and then we'll just use that footage whenever we do. Like a YouTube video. Yeah, so we have an epic tribute, but on the Star Wars show, they were explicit. They were like, and you should go because we hear there's going to be some pretty cool stuff. Wink! So I'm sure it's more than just like a tribute. Do you think they got...
Wow.
Maybe I'll go.
No, possibly. I doubt it. But I know. I'll tell you who I really think they'll have there.
Okay.
And I do.
Harrison Ford.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I do.
No.
And I don't have any inside information on that, but I'm going to tell you why. Because at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, Harrison Ford cannot make it because of his plane accident.
I mean, that's why had the accident. He was like, I can't do this.
But Kathleen Kennedy said there at the show, he was supposed to be here. I'm sorry he's not, but I promise you he'll be at the next one.
She did? Remember that.
She did say that. She said, I promise you we'll get him at the next one. I was like, I don't know if she can promise that. So when we went to London, I kept thinking, is he going to be at this one? Does that count?
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
No.
So I'm thinking it might be this one. Think about it. They're going to be talking about the new Han Solo movie. What a best way to usher that in.
He introduced the
absolutely.
Like, a behind-the-scenes look.
Absolutely.
Mm. See, now I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
See, now you got me. Now you got me. Yep. Warwick Davis, a marquee celebration event will indubitably include many not-to-be-missed surprises. Fans will definitely want to mark their calendars for Thursday, April 13th, and make Star Wars 40th Anniversary Panel a priority for their celebration weekend. Okay, you can't be much more like on the nose with your hinting than that.
Yep.
Although, can you imagine if they just tried to fit in like, don't miss and shoot first for the Star Wars panel. Like, they're just like that. You can't afford, with a hyphen, to miss this incredible opportunity.
It's a hair-raising.
A hair-raising.
And bring your
opportunity.
Bring your hairy sons with you.
All right. Yeah, it could have been slightly more on the nose, but it would have been like that if it had.
So again, it gets back to what we talked about last week about lines and queuing up, and
this is one to get in line for.
But how do you do it overnight?
No, a couple hours early.
I mean, I'm thinking too. I'm 6-7 a.m.
Yeah, 6 a.m. is probably the magic. If you really want to be safe, maybe 5, but 6 is good, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're good. Right? Right? Yeah.
I won't stay up. I'll try not to stay up too late the night before at the RoboForce radio party.
Yeah. All right. Bruce is our special correspondent. He'll be bringing you live. Let's see. What else? We've got Last Jedi rumors. But we can't do them here.
We have to hit the end of the show.
So let's do some feedback, shall we?
Absolutely.
Although, as I'm looking at here, maybe... you know what I'm going to do right now, Bruce?
No.
Here on the show, I'm going to check my email to see if I've gotten a response from a certain Star Wars celebrity. And based on that, we may have to expand this recording session into a Thursday episode as well.
Why do you think that Daisy Ridley will reply to you?
I mean, she will one of these days. One of these days. Although it would help if I logged into the correct email account. Forget it. I was going to say maybe I should be careful about that. So I'm waiting to hear back. But we'll carry on. And get ready to wrap this episode up, and then we're gonna go into a second session here where we got some emails, some rumors that we're gonna talk about for the Thursday episode potentially, unless I hear back, and when I hear back from who knows, maybe some certain people who have stuff to do with Star Wars that will come on the show. It's Mark Daniel and DJ Elliott. All right, fine. Maybe. They'll hopefully be coming on very soon.
Well, do you mind explaining to people who you just named?
Yeah, stage host, Celebration.
Right.
We got the big, he's basically the Star Wars DJ, DJ Lobot, a.k.a. One of the coolest stage guys in the business, DJ Elliott. And then, of course, most specifically, who I've really liked his stuff, and he does a ton of stuff with Disney, the Celebration pre-show man.
I think he's great.
Mark Daniel.
I enjoy him.
I love that guy.
Yes.
And so I was talking to him. I'd sent him a direct message on Twitter because we went to the of course the Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds tribute at Disney, and they played this incredible rendition of Singing in the Rain. And I'm wondering how quickly I could pull it up. Did we tell you much about? Did we talk about the tribute much on the show? I'm trying to remember.
I honestly don't remember. I know we talked briefly about it, but I don't think you went in much detail.
I'm going to say care. This is, this is great radio, but Debbie Reynolds singing in the rain. There's this incredible rendition of the song, yeah, here it is, by this YouTuber and musician Joy Frost, that Disney played, and I wish you won't be able to hear it, unfortunately, but I'm going to play for the good folks listening now a sample, just because I want to give you an example of just how awesome Mark Daniel is. So here we go. We get a little bit of the singing in the rain, but at the very end of the song, we get this. Sweet mashup of the Star Wars theme and Singing in the Rain, and I just remember they played that at the tribute, and it was this incredible scene. It was on the main platform at Disney's Hollywood Studios, And everyone had just kind of gathered there. And it wasn't at all like a somber event. I mean, people were quiet and contemplative, but everyone was there kind of Disney bounding, which was, by the way, a word I learned that weekend for the first time. Like, I didn't understand what this is. I'm still a Disney noob in some ways.
I wasn't familiar with that.
Are you familiar with the term? Can I enlighten you?
Please.
So at Disney, you can't attend a park in costume as an adult. Kids can. But that supplies an art of like the best civilian stylishly equivalent outfits that you can make. So instead of straight up Aladdin cosplay, perhaps you just have a tan shirt and a blue vest, dress shorts, and then baggy pants.
I do know about this because I've attended two parties where we had to do that.
Okay, so you are familiar with the concept.
And we had to guess what everybody, what his character was. We couldn't be, you know, like
overt.
You said, yeah, overt. Yeah, overt. You couldn't be dressed
subtle.
As Aladdin.
Exactly.
But like the colors or whatever.
And so there's probably 200, 300 people. Right, and gathered all Disney bounding in their best suits and dresses in the theme of Singing in the Rain or as Princess Leia. And there's some incredible stuff, and there's all the lightsabers are ignited. That's just gotten dark. You could see it everywhere. And then they played this beautiful rendition. And Mark Daniel did a little hosting moment and introduced it and did it again, a great job. And so I literally just messaged him out of the blue. And he was very nice enough and pointed it to us. And it was a very, very touching moment. So hopefully we'll hear back from him. He'll be coming on the show very soon as well. And it's going to be an absolutely incredible time. Although, having said all of that, I am going to... we could do a cold out, but I refuse. I just like this farm boy rendition far, far, far too much. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to put the wraps on episode 267 of the Star Wars Report podcast. You want to do, you want to stay in touch with us throughout the week, and you can do that by email, directly corresponding with us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. Final call. This is like, you know, the Walmart's closing. The Star Wars Report dinner application is closing. Send us an email, subject line celebration dinner, if you want yourself and your friends to be in on what promises to be a great time. Make sure you do that. And email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, StarWarsReport.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us reviews, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Always very, very helpful. Bruce, we've learned a lot.
We did. We learned that the planet is called Achtu.
Bless you. I bet nobody's made that joke before. Act two. Wait, act two?
Act?
Huh? Huh?
Two.
Huh? Get it?
Right at you.
That's, Bruce, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at @Admiral_Rex, and you can also find me on a podcast called Literary Treks, talking about Star Trek books and comics.
Hey, and you can find him at the Rebel Force Radio Party. There's
Wednesday night.
And then also, I lost my train of thought.
And the final first bash on Saturday.
And the Disney event and the dinner and everything. You can also follow me on Twitter, the Snapchat, Instagram. It's all the Riley guy. I'm doing a lot of stuff on Instagram stories. I'm really liking those. So if you check it out, follow me on Instagram. It's at the Riley guy, RILEY. Folks, that does it for this episode. May the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. So long, folks! so long.
Rumors.
Rumors. Yeah, no, we're doing that. We're doing that next.
Yes.
Mm.